You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I'm your host, Derek Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. You can find this podcast each and every weekday morning when you wake up, wherever you get your podcast. Got a fun show coming up here today, a two-part conversation with Dan Matthews. He's the executive producer of The Chuck Oliver Show that's heard all across the Southeast. He's the king of college football. That's his Twitter handle. You can follow him there. Of course, Dan Matthews is Dan Matthews ATL. He also works for 680 The Fan right there at Truist Park in the Battery. And so he covers SEC football, and that's what he does for a living, and going to bring a lot of knowledge and some good conversations here to this podcast. That's coming up in segments two and three. But first, in segment number one, I'm going to play a couple clips from a media availability with some Tennessee football players. I have a quote from Jalen McCullough. I have a quote from Cedric Tillman, kind of on the new coaches, the new offense, and all that's entailed. Just a couple of news and notes segments here in segment number one to get you started here with spring football on a Thursday. But all that coming up here on a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. So spring practice number four is today. We will have practice later this afternoon, weather pending, and we'll be out there to view it again, kind of like we did on Tuesday. So looking forward to that. If weather forces the practice indoors, then media is not allowed. Media is not permitted to go in there and watch it. But nonetheless, the team will be practicing later today for practice number four. And practice number five will be tomorrow, I believe 10 o'clock in the morning. And Josh Heupel will be meeting with the media shortly thereafter. So that's kind of the schedule for the rest of the week for Tennessee football. Had a chance to catch up with some players it was really an off day yesterday, but players, or at least no practice, but players did meet with the media. We spoke with Jalen McCullough, Trayvon Flowers, two safeties in this defense, as well as wide receiver Cedric Tillman. And, you know, you ask them, you know, a lot of the same questions. You know, how are you adapting to the new schemes? What are the coaches preaching? You know, how was the transitional period this offseason when everybody was leaving the roster, everybody was graduating, the coaching staff had an upheaval, and then you have a whole new scheme, a whole new system, all new coaches. You know, kind of how was that process? A lot of the same questions over and over again. But still, it's good to get quotes. It's good to get this on tape, and it's good to kind of get the thoughts from these players on everything going on. Of course, Tennessee's not going to send us some players who are disgruntled. Of course, Tennessee's going to send us some leaders on the football team, some well-spoken gentlemen to paint Tennessee in the best light, of course. So you're not going to get anything that's bad. But I do want to play a couple clips here. The first one's from Cedric Tillman. Ask Cedric Tillman kind of what are some things that Josh Heupel, Cody Burns are kind of preaching early on into camp. What are they emphasizing early on into camp? And I really like Cedric Tillman's answer here. Give it a listen. It's all about the little things. Here's Cedric Tillman.
Effort, alignment, toughness, and smart. You know, Coach Heupel calls it EATS, and that's what he preaches. You know, it's funny because, you know, I caught a 40-yard ball the other day, and I'm excited. I'm getting up. You know, the first thing Coach Burns told me is, hey, you threw the ball to the wrong guy. You're supposed to give it to this guy. And I was like, oh, man, you know. So it's just the details, you know. Yeah, you know, they're going to get excited. This is a fun, you know, fun coaching staff, fun everything. But at the end of the day, it's the little things and the details. That's what Coach Heupel keeps preaching on. And we're going to hold people accountable. You know, Coach Heupel says that every day we're going to hold people accountable on and off the field. So small details and holding people accountable, I can definitely say is what all the coaches have been preaching nonstop.
Effort, alignment, toughness, and smarts. EATS, as Josh Heupel would say, per Cedric Tillman. I thought that was pretty neat. And I loved how Tillman said, you know, I caught a 40-yard pass the other day, and I was kind of pumped up. And Cody Burns said, well, hey, you didn't give the football to the right guy. And just, it's the little things. And it might sound silly. It might sound, okay, well, I'm going to roll my eyes, and they're just trying to, you know, throw around their weight here as new coaches. I don't think it's that. It's literally setting up a culture. It's literally starting from scratch. And if you don't do these little things now, if you don't harp on these little things now, then a month from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, it can come back and bite you, in my opinion. And it sounds silly, I get it, but I love the fact that they're harping on the little things and trying to get the most out of each and every rep, each and every minute of every single practice. And so I thought that was kind of unique there from Cedric Tillman. I want to play a clip now from Jalen McCullough, and a lot of questions. You know, two safeties met with this yesterday, and of course it was Trayvon Flowers and Jalen McCullough, and a lot of the questions were, you know, how was this offense, you know, how going up against this offense every single day in practice? It's fast paced, it's pace, pace, pace. How is it for you guys? How will it make you better? You know, can you describe it to us? And they did it to the best of their abilities, but here is Jalen McCullough just trying to answer that question on exactly how quick is it from one play to the next. Here's Jalen McCullough.
That's one of those I'll just let y'all see on Saturday. You know, it's really indescribable. Those guys, they're legit hiking the ball, running their play, and in about like three seconds, they're back on the ball, ready to go. So, yeah, it's indescribable. Like it's fast. Y'all, you'll see Saturday on Saturdays.
So I guess we're gonna have to find out on Saturdays. You know, that's a good answer, and I know it is hard to explain because I mean it's not gonna be a set 13 seconds every single play. You know, it might be 8 seconds one play, it might be 20 seconds the next play. Regardless, it's got fast pace. And I do agree with Jalen McCullough. I agree with Trayvon Flowers. It's going to make Tennessee's defense just that much better. Although they won't be going up against an offense exactly like what they do in practice every single day on Saturdays. But the name of the game now, as we heard from Nick Saban, as we've talked about on this podcast, and as we'll hear from Dan Matthews coming up here in just a minute, it's offense. And so anything that's going to better prepare you to go up against that offense, to combat that offensive scheme, points and pace, you're going to be ready. And I think that this is going to be good for Tennessee to kind of go up against this type of style each and every day of practice. Now, they practice three times. Practice four is coming up today. Practice five will be tomorrow. It's still so early in this process. They've gone up against this scheme one time in full pads. So there's a lot to go. There's a long way to go. But I like some of the quotes there from some of the players that met with us, the media, yesterday here at the beginning of spring practice. One other note here in segment one before we get to Dan Matthews. We've talked many times about the struggles at linebacker. We talked yesterday about how it's just so thin and how I do believe Tennessee will be looking to the transfer portal at some point to try and get some immediate help right now. Kavarius Crouch, transfer portal. Henry T, transfer portal. I don't think those guys are coming back. Jeremy Banks banged up right now, and then a lot of guys who haven't played hardly at all. And even if you move someone, you know, from offense like Lenneth Whitehead, like I'm beating that drum for. I mean, he hasn't played college linebacker yet. And so I think Tennessee needs some immediate help now. Interesting turn of events. So Texas senior linebacker Jawan Mitchell, he has entered the transfer portal per various media outlets. This came down on Wednesday evening. Jawan Mitchell, a senior, already said he was going to return to take advantage of that fifth year of eligibility to the Longhorns. I guess things have changed in that regard. And he was the leading tackler for Texas in 2020. Jawan Mitchell, an experienced guy, a veteran, wanting to stay another year in college football. And per multiple media outlets, Jawan Mitchell has entered the transfer portal. I'm not bringing up his name saying Tennessee's in contact with him. I don't know. At least I don't know right now. I'm going to do some digging on this. But that's the type of player that I'm talking about that Tennessee needs to go and seek some immediate help right out of the gate. You know, year one for Josh Heupel, Tim Banks in this defense. Go get a veteran guy that's been there, done that. It might have to learn a new scheme, but has some tread on the tires and can kind of help you bridge that gap to a new wave of linebackers. So Jawan Mitchell, maybe a name to look out for as we continue on down this path. But according to multiple media outlets, Jawan Mitchell, leading tackler for the Longhorns, has entered the transfer portal. Got a big interview coming up with Dan Matthews again. He is the executive producer of the Chuck Oliver Show, a personality and a guy of many hats at 680 The Fan in the Battery, Atlanta. He's coming up in segments 2 and 3. But first, guys, remember our title sponsor this episode, it's Rock Auto, and a proud sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you guys are unfamiliar with Rock Auto, I encourage you to check them out. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. You can go online to RockAuto.com to shop for the auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog, uniquely and remarkably easy to navigate through. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose between the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. And guys, we know price is the best part about RockAuto.com. Always reliably low. The same for professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And I want to welcome to the show Dan Matthews. He is the executive producer for the Chuck Oliver Show, heard all across the Southeast, really, and does some work with 680 The Fan as well. Dan, I appreciate you joining the show, man. How are you?
Hey, appreciate it, Eric. Good to catch up with you. And, you know, it's nice to actually be able to talk some real football right now with pro days and spring practice going on. And I guess it's a lot better than the last year what we've been having the opportunity to discuss on a daily basis.
Oh, it's so much better. I mean, it's you know, spring practice. There's actual football right now. I'm pretty sure every SEC school is in spring practice right now, with the exception of two schools, that being Florida and Missouri. And kind of from you and Chuck talk college football year-round. That's what you guys do. And kind of from afar, what do you think about this Tennessee situation? Of course, it's kind of a loaded question. I understand that. But Josh Heupel coming in and once again, trying to hit the reset button on what used to be a really proud and historic program, but not so much the last 13 years or so.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, credit number one goes to the fans of the Tennessee Vols, because there are fan bases that have been through far less and have a long time ago said, that's it for me. I can't handle this anymore. But it seems like Vol fans still stick around, and that's one thing I've always really commended about them, is that they're loyal to this program. And, you know, it's one of those things that once their loyalty is rewarded, then it's definitely going to be a fun sight to see for them. Probably not for other schools in the SEC, but, you know, that's for them to worry about, I guess. But in terms of this roster, I mean, yeah, you know, there are the stories of, like Wanya Morris moving on, Eric Gray moving on as well. But the good news is, and, you know, it's one of those things when I was going to join you today, I started looking it up a little bit. You still got a pretty good quarterback in Hendon Hooker who decided to stay with you and decided to give Tennessee every shot. So we'll see what he's able to bring. Harrison Bailey, you know, what that situation is and if he's able to contribute in a strong way for them this year. I think the two things also, too, that the Vols really need to look forward to, at least Josh Heupel and his staff, is number one, does the one-time transfer exemption pass? And number two, how do they attack the transfer portal? Because there's spots on this team to be won. And I think that if nothing else, you've got a great selling point to guys who decide, hey, I got a little bit of a logjam here with guys returning and with scholarship numbers that I got to go try to find an opportunity somewhere else. There are not very many programs in the SEC or Power 5 football that can go to guys and say, hey, there's no issue for you here. You come here, you start day one, you're ready to go. So I think that's a way for them to try to stabilize this program and get it moving forward the way they want it to move.
Yeah, and I second, you know, what you said about Tennessee fans. So grateful for Tennessee fans, because I'm not just playing up to the audience here, but if it's not for Tennessee fans, I am not getting paid to do this for a living, this and radio and writing on the websites and everything. And so I couldn't agree with you more, and can't wait for it to finally turn around so they can be rewarded. But you mentioned, you know, some spots available on this team, you know, not only up for grabs in terms of starting. You know, Tennessee's got five spots available still in this 2021 recruiting class, because you were about too short. Tennessee allowed three players out of the NLIs once the transition happened from Jeremy Pruitt to Josh Heupel. Those guys signed with Jeremy Pruitt. And it's an interesting conversation right now, because Tennessee's facing some sanctions from the NCAA at some point. Could Tennessee pocket those five scholarships, or maybe three scholarships or four, whatever,
and say, hey, NCAA, we're not going to fill out the rest of this class. We're going to bite this, take this as part of the punishment moving forward to kind of lessen that load. Or, I mean, if you look at defense right now, Tennessee has no linebackers. Henry Tuolotuo, Quaverish Croucher in the transfer portal, they're likely gone. Tennessee has depth issues in the secondary. There's a lot of holes on this team to where Tennessee could go out in the transfer portal, be very active after spring and in the summer, and get some guys that could potentially help them in 2021. It's kind of an interesting debate, kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation right now.
Well, I think that definitely you always focus on the present. I mean, especially, you know, for Josh Heupel, I think that's got to be his number one concern, because when it comes to the NCAA, you never know what they're going to do. They could say, hey, you've done enough. Or they could say, no, that's not enough. We want more blood from you, and we're coming for it. So it's kind of one of those things you just, I mean, in so many words, you don't trust them. I think that in terms of your scholarship numbers, look, if you can get guys that can come in and help you right now, do it. Absolutely do it. Because, yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying, the preemptive strike and, you know, and kind of lessen the blow a little bit. But, you know, I think if you've got an opportunity to be able to get some guys that can come in and help your program immediately, and maybe even, like I said, in terms of trying to keep it at least somewhat stable, because that's the thing right now is I think that you look at Tennessee's situation, and I know that a lot of people look at other schools that have gone through similar ones, SC, Penn State, and what were they able to do to kind of get things stabilized and back on track. The number one thing I think is just kind of the perception of, hey, look, what's happened has happened. It's unfortunate. It's time for us to move forward. And as a football program, this is what we can offer you. And I think that that's the job that Josh Heupel and his coaching staff have right now. And I think a way you do that is going ahead and making some statements in recruiting now. And the way that you do it right now is the transfer portal.
That's part one of my conversation with Dan Matthews. Got a couple more questions to get to in segment number three, so looking forward to that. But first, guys, Bet Online. The fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football, it's not really until fall. You know, college football kickoff, the NFL, but the NBA well on into the second half. College basketball, hello, Final Four this weekend. The NHL, baseball, opening day today. Go Braves. Bet Online even covers the awards, the television shows, reality TV as well. It's real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up. And you know, a lot of people say that September is the best sports month of the year because you get college football kicking off, the National Football League getting going, you know, baseball postseason starting. But month of March, I know we're just freshly out of March turning into April. What a great sports time of the year, and you can, you know, win some money. You can really do well for yourselves at BetOnline. You'll have ample opportunities right now to do just that. If you're a first-time user at BetOnline, go there, and on your first deposit, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. They're going to give you money just for playing on your first deposit, so take advantage of that. Head on over to the website, sign up on your mobile device. All you have to do to take advantage of that first-time offer, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, for 50% off and a welcome bonus at BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Guys, we've been talking about it all month long. Built Bar Madness, it is Final Four time. And, you know, we're nearing the end of Built Bar Madness to try to find out which Built Bar is best. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market right now, but which one is actually the best? We need you to decide. They're amazingly low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bars that taste and look like a candy bar because it's 100% chocolate. But it's not a candy bar. It's a protein bar. Go online to BuiltBar.com or at Bar_Built on Twitter. Cast your vote for which one is the best in Built Bar. And while you're there, promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED 15. LOCKED15. To get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. We've had a lot of fun with this bracket challenge and this Built Bar Madness. It's nearing an end, everybody. It's almost coming to an end, so go cast your vote at BuiltBar.com. See who won today's matchup. Come back tomorrow. It's a whole lot of fun. All that happening. Built Bar Madness happening at BuiltBar.com. Guys, are you ready for the NFL Draft? If you are, join Locked On the NFL Draft host Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak. They're going to give you the latest positional rankings analysis on the 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. And I want to get back into my conversation with Dan Matthews coming up here. A couple more questions about the SEC in general and kind of what's coming up on the docket here in the spring. So here is the second half of my conversation with the executive producer of the Chuck Oliver Show. Here is Dan Matthews.
When you look at this offense at Tennessee, and I know you don't study the ins and outs like I do each and every day, but you saw Harrison Bailey play. You saw Bayless Jones Jr. and Jalen Hyatt kind of get hot late towards the end of the season at wide receiver. You know who Cade Mays is. Tennessee's got some players on offense. Now, it's a new scheme, and it's not going to flip to scoring 36 to 40 points a game just like that under Josh Heupel. I think it's going to take a little while to get there. But offensively, I feel like if you're a Tennessee fan, and tell me if you disagree, you feel a whole lot better about the offense and what it can do compared to where it's been the past 3 years with Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney, more so than what you do about defense with all those question marks on the other side of the football.
Well, you know, the good news is in college football now is the defensive side of the ball is it's a bonus if you get good play out of that side
yep.
of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've even heard the dean of defense when it comes to successful football in college football, Nick Saban, say as much. And if Nick Saban's saying that, then that's got to tell you what the game is.
We played that clip on the show yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you completely ignore it. You absolutely still have to play capable defense in order to be successful in this game. But offense is the one first and foremost. If you're not moving the football and you're not putting points on the board, number one, you're going to be missing out on recruits. And number two, you're going to be losing games. The good news that they have is that the beginning of the schedule, I think, sets up for them to be able to at least get some confidence going into Florida, because I think that Bowling Green, absolutely, that's a winnable game. You know, Pittsburgh, we're going to see what Pat Narduzzi has coming back. I know that he had a pretty decent team last year, and he's had some good teams there at Pittsburgh. We'll see what he has coming back this year. And then Tennessee Tech, I think that should be another game that you go into that Florida game. I mean, you know, best case scenario, I think you're 3-0. But, I mean, you know, it's also the worst-case scenario. I think maybe that Pitt game, you could say, yeah. You're 2-1. And I think that if anybody, you know, looked at what's happened this offseason and how things set up for this football team, I mean, you pointed to the offensive players they have coming back. That's a plus. You know, let's see what they can do in being able to maybe add a guy or two, or maybe even try to bolster the offensive line. I think that those are things that can work for you. But you're right. I mean, you know, to be in the situation that they're in, I mean, this is probably the second time in about 10 years they've run into this. You didn't have a guy like Cade Mays on that offensive line, so that's at least a start.
Dan, let's take a step back and kind of look at the SEC East, and then we'll get you out the door here. If not now for Georgia, never, right? In terms of not only just taking the SEC East crown, going to Atlanta, and going on for an SEC championship, pushing through to that, but really a college football playoff. You've got an excellent quarterback. You've got receivers, albeit I know George Pickens just went down with an injury, but you've got depth there. You've got a solid defense. I know you're losing a lot, but Georgia seems like it's in position to really make a push to try to win a national title coming up. Do you see it different?
No, I don't. I mean, because what we've seen in college football, at least the last few years, is remember, Eric, there was a time that you could win with your quarterback. Now it's you got to win because of your quarterback.
Yep.
And we've seen it the last few years and what it's meant. I mean, you know, a few years ago, it was Trevor Lawrence winning the national title with Clemson and just having a far superior offense to Alabama. The year after that, it was LSU that was able to take them down again with the far superior quarterback. And then last year, Mac Jones and what he was able to do with Devonta Smith and with Najee Harris. I mean, again, strong quarterback play. So they've got that. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, you get the report earlier yesterday about Jermaine Burton, and now it sounds like he's going to miss the rest of spring, but in terms of his status for the season, it still looks good. So that's a positive for Georgia. I know that George Pickens, he's going to be somebody to keep an eye on. How quickly does he come back from that ACL? But, you know, it's also as well, this is what they've recruited for in Athens. They've recruited for being able to lose a guy or two and still be strong on offense. Demetrius Robertson is somebody that's got to step up. Justin Robinson, I know, is somebody that's already getting early accolades there in Athens. And then Kyrus Jackson back from last season. A lot of people looking to him to kind of be their Kadarius Toney this year in Athens and what he can do for them offensively. So the players are there. There's zero excuse offensively, defensively. I mean, at least through the first couple of times that the media has had a chance to talk with Kirby Smart, he said that the offense is beating them in practice. So Georgia fans want to hear that for sure, especially, like I said, the way that the game is now. Now the question for them is, the thing for them, at least national perception-wise, is going to be that Clemson game. If they win that, the hype train will be on. If they lose it, then the hype train is going to lose some steam because it's going to be, oh, you can't win games like this. If you can't win games like this, then you can't win the national title. They can't let that creep into their heads because you've still got a very winnable SEC East and crossover schedule this year for Georgia that you should finish the season 11-1 and go into Atlanta and have an opportunity for redemption against Alabama. That should be the one that needs to be on the forefront of your brain because that's the test that Kirby Smart has to pass. That is the 2004 Red Sox finally coming back and beating the Yankees and saying, guess what? The NL East is not yours for, or excuse me, the AL East is not yours for keeps anymore. It's now us and you competing for this thing every year. And we've seen the Red Sox be able to do what they've done for the last few years since being able to win that American League and win the World Series that year. So that's something that, at least from a mental hurdle, that Georgia's got to be able to pass. And I think if they can do that, then it's on for Kirby Smart and his coaching staff in Athens.
Dan works also for the flagship station that carries the Atlanta Braves, so that's why he's got the NL East on his mind right now.
There you go.
You wear many hats, man. Executive producer of the Chuck Oliver Show. You fill in as host a lot on 680 The Fan down in Atlanta. You know, where can our listeners find more of your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dan Matthews ATL, 1T in Matthews. You can also find me on the Southern Sports Today app, and then my written work as well. I dabble in a little bit of writing on 680thefan.com, and it's always fun being able to talk to the listeners regionally and also locally as well. So it's a lot of fun. And as you mentioned, as I talk to you right now, I'm staring out our studio windows at Truist Park. A little bummed that we're not going to get the opening weekend here, but got to wait for it for a week. And the weather's supposed to be better next week anyway. So we got that to look forward to as the Braves open up their 2021 season. Hopefully, with, like I was just talking about, the Red Sox, maybe that's the Braves this year. Hopefully. Fingers are crossed. I know in this region of the country, we're definitely hungry for a title.
This Braves fan is hungry for a title as well. Dan, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Absolutely, Eric. Anytime.
Yeah, really great conversation today with Dan Matthews. Really appreciate him, and I can relate with him because he wears many, many hats. Production hats, board hopping hat, hosting hats, you know, working on different shows, different platforms. Hello, welcome to my life. So I appreciate him, and he will be back on the show for sure. And if you guys listen to Locked On SEC podcast with Chris Gordy, you might have heard his voice before because those two guys are good friends, and I think he is a recurring guest on that podcast as well. So Dan Matthews, appreciate you, man, and I look forward to talking with you again. Hope you guys enjoyed it. That was a Thursday show, a two-part conversation with Dan Matthews, and of course some news and some audio from a player availability and just overall spring practice conversations that all happen in segment number one. Going to finish off this weekend or this week strong with a Friday Locked On Vols. That's coming up tomorrow. Guys, appreciate it. Five-star Friday is coming up tomorrow. If you go on, give me 5 stars on Apple Podcast and you write a review, I'll give you a shout out here on the podcast tomorrow. That's 5 stars and a positive review. I'll give you a shout out on the podcast tomorrow. 5-star Friday, something I'm trying to implement here on Locked On Vols. As always, appreciate it, guys. Subscribe, rate, review, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. It's Locked On Vols. At Locked On Vols on Twitter, @_Kaner. I'm your host, Eric Kane. And until tomorrow, you guys have a great rest of your Thursday, everybody.